name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring news, music, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide. Working together to co-create a vegan paradigm on Earth that's normalized nonviolence, inclusive compassion, and non-discriminatory justice. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management. In this episode, I'm featuring the Worldwide Vegan Summit for Truth and Freedom, an online event that was held Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 15th to 17th, 2021. One can check it out at worldhuddle.com/summit or also theworldpeacediet.com. I'm featuring a snippet of one of the interviews, and this is with vegan psychologist Claire Mann in Sydney, Australia. Her talk is called Understanding the Psychology of Oppression, Awakening Out of Mind Control.
Greetings. This is Will Tuttle, your host for the Worldwide Vegan Summit for Truth and Freedom. We now have the precious opportunity to learn from the many years of accumulated wisdom of Claire Mann in the fields of psychology and vegan living. Claire is a vegan psychologist, psychotherapist, trainer, and author originally from London, UK, and now living in Sydney, Australia, in the countryside outside Sydney, I should say. Having originally trained as an organizational psychologist, she held a number of lectureships in universities around the world and has continued to provide in-house public and personalized training to enhance communication, team building, and culture. Her work now focuses mainly on providing vegans and animal advocates worldwide with tools to live in this not-yet-vegan world and to communicate more effectively the imperative of veganism. She coined the word dystopia, the mental anguish of knowing about the systematized abuse of animals within a hidden dystopian world, and is the author of several books, including Dystopia, also The Myths of Life and Choices We Have, and Communicate, How to Say What Needs to Be Said, When It Needs to Be Said, and the Way It Needs to Be Said. She co-founded the Vegan Voices Online Training and is a co-contributor to Vegan Education Australia's 30-Day Vegan Challenge, and to numerous books, including Plant-Powered Women and Everyday Vegans. With our freedom of thought, speech, and movement now under serious threat, she co-hosts with the esteemed Australian vegan advocate Mark Donadue a webinar series entitled Second Stage Dystopia, What Else Don't We Know? Their aim is to help vegans continue to challenge societal norms and discover the truth. So again, I'm delighted to be able to introduce Claire Mann, and we've worked together quite a bit over the last year and a half to help raise awareness about some of these issues. And Claire, I'd like to ask you, please, if you could address a little bit some of the main ideas in your book, Dystopia, which is the psychology in our society and also among vegans, and the not only the benefits, but the difficulties and challenges we face as vegans living in our world today.
Thank you, Will. And what a timely event to be running this summit when almost our vegan community, as we know it, is in disarray, certainly. And a lot of people feel they've found their tribe through the process of veganism. And then there's this great polarization. So this is so timely. And each of us really have to play our part in really ushering in the true spirit of veganism in practice as well as philosophy. And I guess the word dystopia, whilst I created the term, I certainly didn't create the experience. I found when I became a vegan 11 years ago, having been a vegetarian for 30 years, I started to speak out at the same time, speak at rallies, particularly about animal social injustices. We had a huge issue in Australia at the time to do with the live export trade. And it was very public, and it was a huge shift in our society and the awareness of what was happening behind closed doors. And so I started to speak out, and then vegans came to me who had likewise heard about what was happening to animals and said, well, I've got all of life's problems, but now I've got this other problem. Is everything I knew or thought to be true isn't quite true? And so I would prefer to see a vegan psychologist. And really, over the last 10 years or so, I started to do a lot of research and see a pattern emerge. And most concerningly, which is relevant of what, you know, what's happening in our world today, the pathologizing of the vegan's plight. So the vegan that is dealing with an anguish of knowing about that systematized and legal cruelty behind closed doors for our food and experimentation labs and whatever, they were being labeled as having eating disorders. Some might do, but they certainly weren't, because they weren't eating animals, social adjustment disorders. And also, which was most concerning to me, was self-harming. In finding out about this information, it's because they had such low self-esteem. So I really felt we needed a word to stand up to those organizations to say, well, no, this is an experience, an anguish, that if you don't feel it when you find out about these things, there is something seriously wrong, as my colleague and friend Michael Clapper says. So I give a definition of this, and I think it makes sense to us all, highly relevant for now, because most people stop at the first stage. So vestopia is the mental anguish a person feels at finding out about the systematized and industrialized cruelty towards animals. And when they try to tell people, instead of people changing immediately, there's this sort of almost what I call a trance-like collusion with a dark and dystopian world they're not even aware of. And then when the vegan goes, well, if I didn't know about all this and it was hidden in plain sight on my meal plate 3 times a day, what else don't I know? And then they're called a conspiracy theorist. Where have we heard that?
That's so funny. Yeah, so absolutely. That's really so brilliant that you've been able to make those connections. And but through the experience of actually talking to a lot of vegans who go through this, I know I went through, we all go through this as vegans. We see it, and it seems like nobody else does see it.
That's right. And so many vegans stop at that point, I guess. And this is what is so intriguing to us in our current times, of course, is if that was hidden in plain sight, do we think it stops there? And I say to people, a dark and dystopian reality, that doesn't just mean the testing lab or the slaughterhouse.
We've talked about that on some of our recordings together, the importance of vegan living, because if we're going to be insisting on imprisoning animals and sowing the seeds of that, then pretty soon we're going to find the same thing happening to ourselves, or being, you know, force medicating them and so forth.
Yes.
But I'm wondering if you can say some more about the actual rollout that we've been seeing over the last year and a half of the measures, the medical devices that we, like masks and so forth, and the interactions that we've been having to undertake. And now, of course, with vaccination and passports and tracking and social distancing, I mean, all these different things. I mean, how does this relate really to your understanding of our society and where it is right now and what's actually going on? I would love to hear your perspective on that.
Sure. You know, I think it's surprising to a lot of people. They almost think they're still waiting for something to change. It's you've got people that are in fear of some deadly virus and almost an inability to apply any critical thought to actually look around and say, well, what is happening here? You turn off the television and social media and you walk outside, nothing's changed actually. And I think that's been quite alarming to people, but we've had this shift, which has almost become normal, is the imperative of social distancing, to realize that everyone else is this yucky individual who's carrying all these germs with them, with real scant attention to even understanding what a virus is, understanding what pathogens are, understanding the very nature of our immune system. And suddenly everyone else is your enemy. And I've started to see sort of shifts in society. I'm not going out a lot at the moment because we're actually under martial law in Australia. We've got roadblocks at the end of streets and things. This is really akin to Nazi Germany. And there's no doubt about this whatsoever. Every day we're seeing major changes in legislation in Australia to curb the freedoms of movement, of thought. Something is just coming out, the Disrupt Law or something came out on Wednesday, where a platform can be taken down immediately if it is in any way challenging what is happening at the moment. Now, all these things are happening without any discussion, any public oversight. We've got a rogue government, effectively, actually making things up. Whereas the public, I think, are locked in this psychology of almost this paternalistic, the government will take away the problem for us and solve it for us. And we are really being called to take ownership and responsibility for our own health, our own families, our communities. And we're not seeing that happen quick enough, I don't think. And so we've got this sort of social shift towards people going along with in the hope that someone will come and save us. This saviorism almost.
I've talked about that a little bit before all this happened in regards to the fact that we're eating animal foods. I mean, most of the people are eating animal foods. And there's a sort of implicit, I think, with eating animal foods that we're trusting the authorities. We're not. It's not a free choice. We're just eating what we've been told to eat. And especially when it comes to dairy products. I mean, dairy is obviously a mammary secretion. And what are we doing eating mammary secretions? I mean, drinking milk when we're an adult. It's like this yearning to be infants and the yearning to just trust whatever the authorities say, our parents, the government is becoming a parent in a sense, and just giving away our responsibility medically. What you're saying, I think, is really interesting because you're saying this has been going on for quite a while. It's been going on for decades, but now it's really suddenly, quickly being accelerated. And it's catching, I think, a lot of people off guard. But it's like people have been massaged into place so that they have a hard time actually fighting against it. So what, in your experience, are the actual psychological drivers that make it hard for people to resist? Or why do they comply? What kind of fears do people have in this whole thing?
It's probably easy to sort of look at it under three different levels. Because if we look at veganism for a moment, as you say, 100% of us are told three times a day through our media, through our television, through subsidies, through education, that we have to eat a diet that is effectively killing us. And the ludicrousy, as you say, of drinking the reproductive secretions of another mammal is we see the extent to which people are actually in a trance. And I think there is like a trance-like collusion with a much bigger agenda, which is what we're seeing at the moment. So I think if we see it under three different levels, what are these psychological drivers? I think at a personal level, there's people afraid to speak out because they'll lose their job. I hear so many people go, well, I don't really want to wear a mask. I know it's a lot of nonsense, but I will because it makes the girl in the coffee shop feel more comfortable. I see that as a relinquishing responsibility. If you want to make the girl in the coffee shop comfortable, you tell her you'll speak to her boss and you'll explain the situation. But it's that sort of, I'll go along to get along. I don't want to be part of the solution. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be attacked in public. Okay. We then got this huge cancelling that goes on if people speak out against the narrative. We know what it's like when we speak out against to your family about not eating the traditional Sunday lunch, the laughing, the being told we're preachy or whatever is. But that's now happening in what we're seeing at the moment with someone who says, well, hey, just a moment, what about this? And they want a dialogue about something, but they're either a pro or an anti person. So you've got that very binary sort of solution, which is given, you're either with us or against us. And I'll come back to that and look at the social in a moment. You've got this punishment and reward system that's happening in our society, where, in fact, in Australia at the moment, if somebody is able to explain to the authorities that their neighbor, for instance, went outside their 5 kilometer sort of allowance at the moment whilst we're in this lockdown. If they complain to the authorities and, as we say in Australia, dob that person in, and it all goes through to that person being charged, they will be given $300.
Wow.
Now, given that a lot of businesses have closed up, they've lost their jobs, they're boarded up, they're in debt, they're in danger of losing their homes, $300 actually puts food on the table. And so you've got that personal level, because I think we've got such a breakdown in society and community, people often feel alone, is they may go along with that.
We're listening to vegan psychologist Claire Mann in Sydney, Australia. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. I'm featuring the Worldwide Vegan Summit for Truth and Freedom, which was held October 15th through 17th, 2021. Claire was one of the 18 speakers. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our program. Thanks for tuning in.
What time is it?
It's Mongo time.
Hi, folks. This is Chuck Demers. Please tune us in on Tuesday mornings on the Jukebox I, along with Rose, will play the best songs we know. We call the show Mango Time, something sweet, juicy, and good for you. Okay, we're at WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM and WCUW.org.
The Jukebox airs Monday through Friday from 9 until 1 p.m.
Welcome back from the break. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. I'm featuring the Worldwide Vegan Summit for Truth and Freedom, a summit that was held October 15th through 17th, 2021. In this episode, I'm featuring a snippet, an edited snippet of the interview with vegan psychologist Claire Mann in Sydney, Australia. Here's a continuation of our interview.
It's rather alarming. What was even more alarming is a lot of people said, well, I'd love to actually say something in support, but I can't because I'm so isolated anyway. I really can't take that backlash. And so you've got a silencing, a cancelling at a time when we should be coming together and having the dialogue, particularly in the vegan community, when we know we've been so lied to. But I'm also seeing it at a professional level, Will, is doctors, nurses, social workers, MPs, if they come out and say, well, hey, look, this is a little bit different than the health departments, say my experiences in Australia, they're getting enormous lashback. Now, I'm hearing personal stories of colleagues ringing former doctor, a retired doctor colleague of mine, and saying, I really don't agree with what's going on. I don't believe that the threat of this alleged virus is greater than the consequences of the lockdowns. And my colleague says, well, why don't you speak out? Well, no, not after what happened to you. You were suspended for speaking out. And so we have this enormous number of professionals who have been given such privilege, and they're not showing the responsibility to go along with that. So they are becoming silent, really, to keep their jobs or not be kicked out from the club. And people have said to me, I mean, in speaking to you now, Will, you know, I'm putting my, quote, position in jeopardy, just belonging to some psychological group. Well, if I lose my job, then so be it. It's I'm an independent worker, I guess, you know, contributing to the world, trying to make it a better place and empower people. But I will not be silenced over something that I feel is damaging other people, which is taking away their freedom of thought, movement, and speech. But I'm not seeing enough people do that, Will. And when they are, they're deplatformed, they're taken away, they're taken out of their jobs, they're quietly retired. And I think the more we speak out, we give other people permission to do this. So I think this is important.
Right.
I'm sure you've seen that over in America as well.
Right. Thank you so much for, that's a whole lot to to really contemplate. But those different types of social pressure, financial pressure, governmental pressure, all of these things, both externally and within oneself, we want to be part of the tribe. We want to go along. We want to be included. And of course, as vegans, we are used to not really being necessarily part of that tribe. We're used to questioning these things. I just want to say that we're seeing the same thing all over the world. Here in the United States, for example, the Federation of State Medical Boards, which basically runs all the doctors and the nurses and so forth, they've just come out with a ruling, a new regulation that anyone who questions the official narrative about this disease and the protocols will lose their license. That's it. You know, you're done. So. Yeah. They've actually made it so that if someone does speak up, they could be losing their livelihood. But what you're saying is that, look, this is our life. We can't allow ourselves to live as slaves to a system that's absolutely seems malevolent. I mean, what's unfolding certainly does not seem benevolent in any way, because it keeps taking away our freedom. I mean, in the way that I would say, if I was a cow or a pig or a chicken in a farm, and they're feeding us for a while, everything seems quite benevolent. It's quite nice. You know, they're taking care of us. They give us our injections. And every third Tuesday, we get injected again. And but then at a certain point, it's time actually to do the actual work. And suddenly what seems benevolent is all of a sudden, we realize they never had our best interests at heart at all. And I'm seeing people, just even vegans who should know better, I think, it seems to me, who should be used to questioning official pharmaceutical narratives, official government narratives, suddenly, oh no, the pharmaceutical industry, the government, they have our best interests at heart. They've always have. We can trust them. What is that all about, do you think?
I think it's alarming to us, isn't it, as vegans, when people, I call it the stranger in a strange land. We lift the veil. We wake up one day when we walk through a shopping mall, or we sat having a coffee with a friend, or we sat on their new sofa. Everything was fine. And then one day, we don't see a leather sofa anymore. We see an animal's body. We don't see a cup of coffee. We see the dairy industry. We don't see a shopping mall. We see the use of fur and experimentation labs. And we can't believe we didn't see it the week before we had that veil lifted.
Right.
And really, you and I and others are imploring others to say, well, if that happened, what don't we know now? And I know Mark Donohue and myself in our webinar series, Second Stage of Dystopia, we say to people, if you really want to apply critical thought, you have to say, well, where do I stand on this? And we know this with veganism, of course, is we emotionally find out what's happening to animals and the cruelty and the effect on our environments. And we are shocked and upset by that. And we feel uncomfortable if we're eating the diet that contributes to that or making those life choices. And so to align our thoughts, feelings and actions, we can either dispute all those facts and look for something that says the opposite. Can't live without animal foods, or it's not as bad as that, is it? The government would never allow it, so just a few bad apples. Right. And because then we don't have to change. But the vegan, of course, to align that, they say, oh my gosh, I can't play a part in that. So they shift that. What actually I think is happening at the moment is we have pure emotion fueling so many people's decision-making processes.
And one of the things I feel, I'm not sure if you agree with this, but that a lot of people go vegan and they do it because of the animals and they care about the animals, but they don't question beyond that too much. And they don't really question the cultural narratives around pharmaceutical medical industry, which basically we've been indoctrinated from the time we're little kids. As soon as anything happens, you just trust the doctor. What do you think in terms of that idea that vegans have, in a sense, many of them haven't made enough progress, in a sense, to question the deeper narrative in our society that is part of animal agriculture. You know, we're always, since we're dominating and exploiting so many animals, we are actually so separate from the natural world. And it seems like I'm putting on masks and social distancing and all these things just further reinforces that, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's extraordinary, isn't it? It's, you know, I've... because I came into veganism and actually vegetarianism by daring to look inside a slaughterhouse 40 odd years ago. And that's a wonderful example as well, of course. How could I be vegetarian for 30 years and not know about the dairy industry? It's now, as you know, when you became a vegan all those years ago, it wasn't actually talked about in the same way. I actually became vegan before I knew there was a word for it, for instance. That was only 11 years ago. I thought it was extreme diet, probably, but I didn't realize it's a whole philosophical underpinning. I love your article you wrote, The Herding, The Spooks, Herding of Humanity. Mm-hmm. And that drew that real alignment between, we are seeing it here. People are losing control over they're losing their freedoms, they're losing their children, and they're losing their lives. We are seeing children herded up into stadiums here, and the parents aren't allowed to go in for their vaccine shots. If we can't see the images that are happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that, you know, I saw that yesterday. Madeline and I saw some images of these children in these stadiums that somebody had taken, I guess, with a cell phone. And it looked just like people catching little pigs, and to bring them to the slaughter line. You know, these little kids were running and trying to get away, and the authorities were chasing them and grabbing their shirts and pulling them. And they were squealing like, no, no, help, no. And they were squealing and trying to get away. And these big men were grabbing them and say, well, no, they're going to inject them forcibly with needles. Yeah. I mean, it was just like a scene out of a slaughterhouse or a farm. That's exactly. Right. Humans to children. This is so horrifying. And yet people, how is it possible that we allow this? I guess that's the big question, really. As a social psychologist, I mean, this how do we get to this point?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? I keep coming back to this relinquishing of responsibility, you know, from cradle to grave almost. But it's interesting, we have situations here that would, you know, make your hair curl. We've had newborn babies that the mother has apparently tested positive with a test we much proclaim as about 94% false positives, who has actually separated from a newborn baby for 8 days. And press conferences being held by the Victorian government that, well, it's the worst thing in the world, we know, but it has to be done for the child's safety, who has just been carried in the body of their mother. This is absolute ludicrousy. And only last week, 3 newborn babies died because they needed heart surgery, but they couldn't go across the border to the hospital that did that sort of surgery on newborn infants. And I think this, when we see that, as vegans, we've tried to expand people's compassion to include animals. It's been very challenging for them to actually realize that the pig, the chicken, the horse, the dog is exactly the same as their cats and dogs. But now they're allowing that to happen to humans. And I keep waiting for the day. I'm still bewildered after probably 30 odd years of being a psychologist. When is the day when people will open the doors and say, we're not having this?
Yeah.
But I think we've got that say, and that's another part of this will, is this applied behavioral psychology principles, deliberately informing governments of the language they should use to get people to shift and go along with the narratives they're creating. And the documents I'm looking at using neurolinguistic programming techniques, the deadly variants, what we know so far, the science is settled, we're all in this together. The biggest concern to me, Will, was in an actual document called the Mindspace document, which you can download off their websites. It says we can get people to police each other, but we have to be very careful because if we do this too quickly, they will turn on each other. So as people listening to this, it's not a case of a few people not just taking responsibility for themselves or not being able to stand up. If we watch social media, if we watch the mainstream narrative where there is this repeating of this, it is almost like this hypnotic spell that is happening. You're working with the psychological principles of mind control to actually get people to think there's not even a question to be asked. And that's what we've got to break through if we're going to create the world to which we all want to belong, which is truly a vegan world. Is the non-initiation of harm in its widest sense.
Right.
You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. We just heard vegan psychologist Claire Mann in Sydney, Australia. She was one of the speakers at the Worldwide Vegan Summit for Truth and Freedom, hosted by Dr. Will Tuttle in Northern California. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Speakers at the Worldwide Vegan Summit for Truth and Freedom include Dr. Pam Popper of Wellness Forum Health and founder of Make Americans Free Again, Don Lester and David Parker, authors in the UK, Joanne Farb and Serena Farb in Kansas, Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, who's also the host of this event, Dr. Nihal Parikh, whose talk is Natural Immunity, Alternatives in Giving People a Choice. Speakers also include Dr. T. Colin Campbell, Dr. Gabriel Cousins in Israel, Dr. Joel Kahn, Derek Brose, Dr. Brian Clement of Hippocrates Health Institute, Dr. Amity May, a vegan veterinarian in Los Angeles, Margarita Restrepo, Hannah Maria, Dr. Rupa Shah in India, Karen Ranzi, and vegan psychologist Claire Mann. I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation, and I'd like to thank all the speakers and participants of the Worldwide Vegan Summit for Truth and Freedom. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Public health and human freedom requires animal liberation. Animal liberation. This is Molly Narrow, wishing you a good day.